Hello and welcome to KnitWorks, a series of talks powered by Rural Knit Youth Network, covering the challenges of rural knits, young people not in employment, education or training, living in the countryside. Rural Knit Youth Network is a European-led multidisciplinary network with the goal of understanding how rural knit social inclusion can be supported. To learn more about our project, please visit rnyobservatory.eu-web. Effective policies to address youth unemployment require horizontal coordination between different governmental departments, as well as vertical coordination between priorities placed at European, national and regional levels. Unfortunately, there is still a dominant bureaucratic culture of policy-making silos, with only a few interconnections between education, employment or social welfare. This problem seems to be more challenging in southern European countries such as Greece or Italy. In northern countries such as Denmark or Sweden, policy design for younger generations results more often in integrated services deliverance, such as one-stop shops, improving youth job-seeking and employability. Moreover, broadband European policies such as the Youth Guarantee struggle to be translated into meaningful programs at the national or the regional levels due to shortage of on-the-ground resources or a mismatch between policy priorities and young people's needs and expectations. New models of governance, such as the integrated model approach, can help to improve youth unemployment policies' horizontal and vertical coordination. What is integrated governance? How is this model implemented? And what are its challenges and opportunities? Answers to this and more on this episode of KnitWorks.
Welcome to one more episode of KnitWorks, the podcast series of the Rural Knit Youth Network. I'm Francisco Simões and I'm the chair of this cost action. Today I have the pleasure to host Rui Marques. He is the director of Instituto Padre António Vieira, a Portuguese NGO. He is also the director of the Ubuntu Academy in Portugal. He has an extensive experience working on migration and refugee issues. And more recently, he has also been involved in the initiative Govint, a platform for disseminating the integrated governance vision across different decision-making levels in Portugal. So welcome, Rui.
Welcome, Francisco. Thank you so much for this invitation. It's a great pleasure to be with you around this topic of integrated governance. And also with all your project, to all your partners and stakeholders around this topic.
Well, again, it's a real pleasure and an honor to have you here. And for us at the Rural Knit Youth Network, as we had the opportunity to talk about it, it's a real priority to address policy-making issues. So, as I mentioned when presenting you, you have been involved for some time now in spreading the word about integrated governance. So what are the main features of this governance paradigm?
Well, Francisco, we need to start to make the point about the complexity and wicked problems. Our time is so clear. We have many, many wicked problems to tackle. Not only the war now in Europe, but also the poverty, the social exclusion, the climate change, and many, many others problems, social problems and ecological, economic problems too, have this kind of characteristics, these wicked problems. Mm-hmm. It means a very, very complex problems. We don't know exactly what could be the solution. We need also a collaborative approach to tackle this kind of problems. And this is why we started 8 years ago with this project, Integrated Governance Forum, to stress this point. We need to learn and we need to make our best effort to work collaboratively to face this kind of wicked problems. It's impossible through the bureaucratic model alone in silos have a good solution for the wicked problems. We need to work together. We need to learn to have a better collaborative culture inside And in inter-organizational perspective, between our organizations, we need to make our networks stronger and learn to be efficient and very effective in this approach. This is why integrated governance is a very clear new paradigm. We could talk also about joint up government is another concept to tackle with this kind of problems. We need to work in this collaborative basis and understand very clear we need to work together to face this kind of problems.
And when you talk about integration, do you mean only the integration at the horizontal level, meaning between different sectors of public deliverance? Or do you
not
mean
only
public and private, and also vertical coordination? How does the model approach that?
It's a very, very good question. We need integration, of course, in between different kind of institutions. Mm-hmm. When we look in the public sphere, different ministries, different public bodies, but also with the private sector. Mm-hmm. And of course, at the multi-level scale, we need to have an approach, a collaborative approach between local, regional, national, and even European and worldwide level. We need to work together between different levels. It's impossible to find solutions only in one level. And this is, of course, this is difficult. We have no doubt about this. It's a very challenged model, but is the only one could offer good solutions for the complexity and the wicked problems.
So it's complexity in a vertical and an horizontal axis. So
exactly.
Bringing it together. So from your experience until now, and from your experience, especially in Portugal, what are the main advantages of the integrated governance model? And what are the main challenges also?
Yeah. Well, as you said, I had a large experience in migration and refugee issues. And this is one of the good examples how we need to have this kind of integrated approach. When we talk about the welcome and integration process in our societies, we need to put together different ministries working around this issue. Not only the work, social security, health, education, but housing and others. Mm-hmm. But also we need to have this kind of multi-scale, multi-level collaboration between municipalities, government, European Union. And what are the main advantages? Of course, we, with the integrated governance model, we have a more powerful answer to the challenge. We could mobilize different competencies, different skills, different resources, different perspectives around one topic, one issue. And put all this together is the best way to have a stronger and most effective solution. But of course, we know it's very hard to work together because the culture of our institutions, our organizations is sometimes very away from the collaborative culture, the culture of my farm, protecting my farm, working on silos, have a very defensive attitude. When we start to talk with others, make difficult this approach, but the question is very, very easy. We have no other solution to tackle with the wicked problems. And this is why we need to, even is a difficult way, even could be a challenge model, to learn to collaborate, to learn to have integrated public policies, to have some possibility, some chance to have more successful public intervention in different of these areas, but certainly is very challenging.
Yeah, and when you talk about it, it seems a bit like that the integrated governance model is a bit like humanizing policy making and deliverance, because collaboration is definitely one of the core key features of humankind. So we're
exactly.
kind of bringing it to policy making and policy deliverance. So it's good to hear that. So one of the complex social problems that Govind, the forum that you have been coordinating and been collaborating with, that you have been looking at, is the situation of young people not in employment nor in education or training in Portugal. Can you, well, in a nutshell, list some of the contributions in defining policy solutions for this this young people group in the country?
Yeah, yeah, we had the chance to develop the very interesting project with a working group around exactly this problem, and we put together different practitioners, academics, politicians, working together first to understand better the problem. This is always the first challenge. Is to have this
more years ago in Portugal, right? 8-9 years ago, it was still a new concept, this idea of NEET.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And we need to understand deeper the problem, but a more broad, also more broad view of the problem, because sometimes we have a risk, a trap, a very narrow approach to the problem. Mm-hmm. And this is, was the first step to make the conceptual maps to understand better the problem. Mm-hmm. And after search, dialogues between different institutions, coming special from the different fields, economy, education, professional training, employment, working together to find a comprehensive approach to this problem and the integrated policies. Mm-hmm. And in the last year, we had also the opportunity to participate in the new framework for tackle with poverty. And one of the topics was the NEETs, and we had the chance to participate in this different working groups around this national strategy. Mm-hmm. to deal with the poverty and social exclusion, and we make again this stress this topic. Mm-hmm. How we can work together different institutions, but special economy, education, social affairs, employment, professional training. Mm-hmm. And even youth policies, even the health, all together try to have participation in this kind of new generation of social policies. This idea to have this integrated model working together at the same level, and understand very clear we need one from each other the contribution. Mm-hmm. Of each ministry, each public body.
And now I'm a bit curious about how NEET becomes so pivotal in poverty issues and poverty strategy in Portugal. So I would ask you, regarding that specific experience, what are the main challenges there in terms of coordination? Is it the problem of integration within the public sector, or the integration between public sector and private sector? What have you learned from that experience in the poverty strategy regarding NEET?
Unfortunately, all of them have problems inside the public, between public and private, between different levels. Uh-huh. But it's very clear one of the main difficulties to try to do something in this field is exactly the absence of integration and collaboration. Mm-hmm. between different institutions. You can see our public institute for employment and professional training have many difficulties to talk with the education system or with private companies offer to employment to these young people. But also they have other kind of problems to make this very challenge. The mobilizing of these young people, contact them, mobilizing to participate in a special initiative to integrate them in the, mm-hmm. The field of education or of training or even employment. And of course, if we go deeper, we can find also challenge like a psychological level mm-hmm. of each young people in the situation of needs. Mm-hmm. They have a personal challenge with a very important psychological aspects mm-hmm. to be part of the positive dynamic of integration. And this is why we need to work together in the very comprehensive approach and find new ways with different contributions to become more effective.
Do rural areas have a particular challenge or opportunity to work with social wicked problems? Mm-hmm. I ask you this because on one side, these communities are smaller, they tend to mm-hmm. get together mm-hmm. more closely, but they can be also very competitive. So in this framework, in the framework of our action, we're looking mostly at low density territories, exactly. rural territories. Exactly. From your experience, I know that you have been working in Alentejo, for instance, which has mm-hmm. a huge mm-hmm. rural area. Do you see specific features for these regions in terms of implementing the integrated governance model?
Yeah, and you said the low density territories are also a huge challenge mm-hmm. For all the social problems because scarce resources, because very fragile networks of social capital, low offer of employment, low offer of public service like health or education. And of course, this is another kind of wicked problems, low density territories. But certainly they could have, the rural areas could have other strengths like the solidarity between the community, the offer of the solutions, local solutions for employment. But, we have problems in the urban areas, we have problems in rural areas, quite different, but always wicked, always very, very, very complex to have a good solution, to find a good solution for them.
Well, just to finish up our conversation, of course, we're coming out of a pandemic, we are now facing international turmoil. Do you think that there's a place for integrated governance in this, new world that is coming now? What can be the role and how can integrated governance improve policy making across, European countries?
Yeah. Two examples, Francisco. With the COVID, was very, very clear. If we have some successful approach to the pandemic situation, this is why, because we find some collaborative approach, mm-hmm. an example to discover the vaccine or to have coordination between different countries to develop sanitary measures to mm-hmm. tackle with this COVID crisis. And this is so clear when we work alone, only without with our resources, we fail. It's impossible to, it's an overwhelming situation. One nation alone have no chance to be successful in this crisis of COVID. This is why if we look if you pay attention to the last crisis, the COVID crisis, was very clear the example how we need the integrated governance model. But also with the crisis today, with the war and the situation in Europe and in the world, is also very clear. This crisis needs a collaborative approach between different countries because this idea of interdependence, we are really in the small village, all of us are interconnected, and we need to work together to face this challenge. The integrated governance will be the model for the future. We need to make very clear for all our organizations, we need to have integrated and collaborative answers for the challenge of our time.
Well, and with this message, we finish up our conversation. Thank you very much for being with our Action.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
So this ends this edition of Neatworks. Don't forget to subscribe our podcast using your favorite platform and be sure to join us for the next episode. See you soon. This podcast is based upon work from COST Action Rural NEET Youth Network, supported by COST, European Cooperation in Science and Technology. COST is a funding agency for research and innovation networks. Our actions help connect research initiatives across Europe and enable scientists to grow their ideas by sharing them with their peers. This boosts their research, career, and innovation. Visit www.cost.eu.